Just kind of want to recap. Like we kind of finished Romans 5 last week. Maybe I got a little sidetracked. But you know, as we read Romans, and as I think as we kind of sung today, and I think about how many of us long for revival? So how does a revival start? Dealing with the sin that you're easily entangled in. So we could pray and ask for revival, but if we are continually in sin and operating in sin and not really yielding to the Holy Spirit, how can there be a revival? Because revival needs to be, as a believer, yielded to Christ, surrendered to Christ, be doers of God's word, and not hinder the Holy Spirit. Right? Being submitted to the Holy Spirit. And so that revival starts in our own lives. And without that, you will not see revival within the body of Christ. Because true revival starts with repentance. And we've been reading in Romans about repentance. And even in Romans 3:23, it says, we all have fallen short. So none of us were born righteous. All were born sinners. So we all needed Christ. We all need Christ. So that is amazing. And so the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel we get to share. Because we have experienced the good news of Jesus Christ, how he has redeemed those who put their faith and trust in Christ alone. So we get to share the good news. Because no longer we're sinners. Those who put their faith in Christ, you're no longer a sinner. You've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And because of the good news, we talk about God's redemption of a sinful humanity, and because he went to the cross, he died and rose again. He has broken the power of sin over us. Sin should no longer have dominion over you, even though at times we will struggle with sin. And we will deal with sin until the day we are caught up with the Lord. Right? And if we are dealing with sin, we repent and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me. I surrender this. And even sometimes we learn that it's generational sin that's passed on from we know the original sin came from Adam, but even as believers, sometimes we are dealing with that it's sin that's been passed down from our parents or grandparents, great-grandparents. Sin that's so, we're like, why did we have so much battle with this sin in my life? And so sometimes it could be sin that has been passed on. But you know what? God can set you free from that and break you off of those demonic attacks. So God shows us his love for us, that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5:8. That's amazing how God died for us. Even though we were sinners, he was preparing, because he already knew you before, even before you were a thought, God knew you. And so Romans speaks of the freedom that we can receive through Christ, being set free from a sinful bondage. He can set you free from bondage, ungodly behaviors, ungodly lifestyles, ungodly thoughts. How many of us sometimes we have battle within our minds? And what does the word of God say? Take captive every thought that set itself up against the knowledge of Christ. Make it obedient to the word of God. So that's our part. God has given us all things necessary for life and godliness. We have to take hold of those thoughts. And if you struggle with thoughts, what are we watching? You know, even this last week, how many of us fast? This last week we fasted. And it's amazing the breakthrough you have. How God speaks. And how God, how you hear God's voice even more clear. So a fast could be, it's like, Lord, what do I have set up higher than you? Maybe fast from that. It could be a complete fast, just drinking water. But ask the Lord, what kind of fast? And amazing things break free when you fast. Romans speaks of God's righteousness and how God imputes his righteousness and holiness to us. It's him that gives us, when we're justified, it's amazing how sometimes we feel so much guilt and shame. None of us feel that way. But when he justifies you, he makes it even though that you have never sinned. That's a legal thing. He imputes his holiness and righteousness. So God the Father doesn't see you as a sinner, but he sees you through the eyes of Christ. Perfect, holy, righteous because of Christ. And sometimes we allow Satan to make us doubt the word of God. Right? And so even how Eve was deceived, so many of us get deceived because we're believing or hearing the wrong voice. Or choose to believe the wrong voice. So in Romans, there are four themes. So the wrath of God. Now we're going to be talking about the grace of God. And then we're going to be talking later about the plan of God. Then the will of God for your life. And Romans and Hebrews go together hand in hand. So as we move into Romans 6, we'll see the grace of God. How God redeemed us, how he justified us, as though we have never sinned. That Jesus died once to break the power of sin and death and make the follower of Christ alive in him. That's amazing stuff. Are you Emmanuel? Good thing your mom's not here today. I want to read, we'll start in Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Did I give him that scripture? No, I never did. So Hebrews 12. Who wants to read Hebrews 12, 1 to 3? Okay. Yeah. So, one preacher made a point by pointing his finger at his congregation, exclaiming, "I know the sin that easily entangles you." And he allowed this to linger in the air for a moment, long enough for the people in the congregation to wonder if he had special revelation from God. I'm not going to point fingers. So he finished the line by saying, "It's a sin that you're thinking about right now." So what sin are we thinking about right now? So what do we do about that? Repent. 1 John 1 talks about that. He talks about repent, confess your sin unto God. Because we all fall short. We all sin. And if I say I never sin, I make God out to be a liar. So we all do sin. Even though we are followers of Christ, we have put our faith and trust in him, we all do sin. And the amazing thing how Satan wants to say, like, how can God forgive you of your sin? Look at the foolish things you have done bring shame and doubt, and even think, well, how can I even be a believer? He just says, take me at my word. Let me transform your heart. Let me change your attitude. Let me change your perspective. And as we meditate on the word of God, he transforms our mind and our hearts. And those sins that were so easily entangling us, the power of them will be lifted, so they will not have any more dominion over you. And so as we trust the Lord, I pray that we truly trust and depend on him. Press in. I was going to read James before we get to Hebrews. I don't know if they're able to put that on the screen. James 1:13 to 15. James 1:13 to 15. All right, get somebody to read James 1:13 to 15. Okay. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So that's when, as a believer, we are drawn away by what's in our heart. And then when desire has conceived, he gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Sin brings death, right? And as we, as believers, are mindful of what sin does and what we've been delivered from, because there is a spiritual battle that's going on. Kid yourself not. The devil wants you to doubt what God. But God wants you to trust his word, to know his word, to rely on his word, and to be set free. And allow the Holy Spirit to transform your hearts. Right? It's not me doing it. It's me surrendering to the Lord and entrusting in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, as a follower of Christ, we have been washed in the blood of Christ, purified from sin, and still have sin hidden deep in our hearts. And that's part of sanctification. God sanctifies us as we surrender. He will reveal things to you that need to be dealt with. So he wants to purify you and sanctify you. He wants you to actually hate sin. Kind of love the sin, I think. Because we go back to that same sin and then we feel guilty and shamed after. But before, we just jump in with both feet. And we think, well, you know. So Owen's going to read Psalm 139. So Psalm 139, Owen, 23 to 24.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting.
Amen. So as a believer, how often we ask the Lord to search our hearts? It's like, Lord, search my heart. Because the Lord knows your heart better than you do. He knows the stuff that we don't want to deal with. He knows the stuff that we're trying to run away from. He knows how to bring it out so that we will deal with it. And so it's like, Lord, search my heart. He already knows what you're thinking. He knows where you're at. He knows how to deal with it. And so we're going to start reading Romans 5:19. And so for as by one man's disobedience, so Adam's disobedience, Adam is a literal person. God created Adam and no other person at that time. There was no other people created. It was only Adam. I kind of went on the sidetrack of Adam was a very literal person because even Jesus believed in Adam. So also by one man's disobedience, many will be made righteous. It talks about Jesus Christ. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that is sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Right, this is Paul speaking. He's trying to make, apologetic. He's having this discussion with people to make us think. So what shall I say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because the believers in Rome believe that if I sin more and more, God's grace will abound more and more. And sometimes we think that, I'll just keep on sinning because then God's grace will abound. But then we take his grace in vain. So 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, do not use God's grace in vain. Doesn't give you a license to sin. That's what he's saying. We don't get the license to sin. Even though you have been delivered from sin and the power of sin and death are made alive in Christ, does not excuse you to live a life of sin. Because then you're taking God's grace in vain. And if we're taking his grace in vain, then that's something we need to be asking. Lord, why do I take your grace in vain? Why am I going this way every single time? Where am I not surrendered to you? And that's why I say when you fast and pray, God will reveal the areas of bondage. And that sin will break. That power of sin will break in your life. So often we don't want to fast, because we are feeling the sinful nature more so than the new nature. So then what shall I say? Certainly not. So he says, do not continue to sin so grace may abound. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We should be hating sin. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized in Christ. Maybe the underline baptized in Christ. But I'll go back to that in a bit. Jesus were baptized into his death. And we were baptized in Jesus' death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. If you think of Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, I no longer live. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so would, so we also should walk in the newness of life, not in the old nature. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also be in the likeness of his resurrection, a new life. That we don't identify with the old nature, we identify with the new nature. Knowing this, that our old nature was crucified with him. So you go back to Galatians 2:20. That's lines up with that scripture. That the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. So have you died to your old nature? And sometimes we don't. And we realize we're not dying to old self. Rather, we're giving CPR to the old nature. We're like, I'm going to breathe some life in this old nature. I'm going to breathe into it, feed it, so it becomes healthier and stronger. And the new nature gets weaker. So how do we get the new? How we get the new life, new creation stronger? By reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, spending time with God, listening, what we watch, what we listen, what we allow to enter our eye gates. That's how we feed the new nature. And likewise, we do the same thing, the old, by not spending time with God, watching movies and reading stuff that's not honoring God. Or, right? We have to be careful which nature we're feeding. Now, that if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. So there's only one death, one resurrection, one life. That's in Christ. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. You know, you can look up reckon, what reckon means. But alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There you go. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. This is what's, he's breaking the power of sin he has. He has broken the power of sin off your life. That it should no longer have dominion over your life. He has given you all things necessary for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1, 3-4. I think that was one of the first scriptures I kind of learned. Maybe one or two. But so you see, those who have accepted Christ as their Savior and Lord are dead. We're dead to earth. We no longer live. The life that we live is for Christ. This life I live, I don't go around trying to glorify my own body, because our bodies are not ours. They become the temple of God. It's the temple of God because he lives within you. And so he wants, it's like when Jesus came in into Jerusalem, overthrew the tables in the temple, to cleanse the temple. He's cleansing your temple, which belongs to him. Right? And so the Holy Spirit. So have we ever quenched the Holy Spirit? I think we have. Have we repented of quenching the Holy Spirit in our life? And so sometimes our heart becomes harder and harder because we are quenching the Holy Spirit. And if I would say, Lord, forgive me for quenching your Holy Spirit in my life, soften my heart, break my heart, give me a new heart, a heart that desires you more and more, purify my heart. It's an amazing thing, right? So, because we were dead to sin, but alive in Christ. That's who we're in. That's okay, Maroon. He's ready to go run around. Because we serve a living Savior, a Savior who was once dead, a Savior that is now risen, a Savior that lives forever. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, always interceding for us, presenting you before the Father with great joy. It's amazing how what he does for us. Something that we don't even deserve. And how can you not love a God who's that way? You know, a Savior that lives forever, and we get to spend eternity with him. Think of the things that we're going to know him so intimately, and we're never going to get tired of him. Think of that. And every day, you're going to learn something new about him. Every day is going to be just so refreshing. So how do we live for him? So our position in Christ, sin was our former way of life. So we were alive in sin. We're dead in sin. I would say we're dead in sin because sin brings death. And before Christ, we were dead to Christ. We were enemies of God. We walked according to the desires of the flesh. We didn't want anything to do with a holy, righteous God. God actually was drawing us to himself, and we actually responded to him. He calls out everybody, all the he created everybody in this world. So 8 billion people so far, how many of the population in the world? 8 billion people, he's created every single one of them. He formed every single person in their mother's womb. And he knows each person so intimately, and he still calls out to them. Will you surrender to me? Will you follow me? Will you trust me? So before we knew Christ, we walked in the nature of the old man. We walked in sin. We were called enemies of God. We were not in him. We had turned our backs to him. When we chose to walk according to our own will and our ways rather than his ways. And sometimes as a believer, we still do that. And we ask God, bless our ways. Instead of saying, Lord, what is your will today? And because of our selfish desires and our fleshly walk, and because of our disobedience, we brought death upon ourselves. The Bible is clear that sin brings death. Ephesians 2:1, it says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. But in Christ, our position has changed. And I think too often we always identify to the old nature of who we once were, rather than who we are now. I think if we identify who we are now, rather bringing up who we once were, because we like to talk about our life before Christ, rather than who we are now in Christ. Just think if we start to talk about who I am in Christ today and what God is doing in your life today. And if I would say that to other believers, this is what Jesus is doing in my life by the Holy Spirit, how he's changing my attitude, how he's changing my perspective, how he's changing my desires, how this sin used to entangle me no longer has the grip on me. That's the position we have. He can set you free from it. It doesn't have to continue, but we allow it to continue. And so it's amazing how we allow things. because it feels good at the moment. And what do you know about our feelings? They change every day. Right? And we're not supposed to go by our feelings. The Word of God doesn't say, go by your feelings. Feel that, feel that. So when you say, oh, I feel like this is what God is saying. I think God has directed me to go this way. You should not ever go by your feelings. Don't ever go by warm and fuzzy things. So, but in Christ, our position has changed. Our situation is now reversed. Ephesians 2:1 says, He's made you alive. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We no longer live to sin. We're dead to sin and alive in Christ. We're no longer enemies of God. We are the children of God. We're no longer servants of sin, but we became saints and children of God. So Christ has changed our position, and because of our new life, He has given us a liberty, a freedom to walk in the newness of life. Not the liberty to walk into sin, but this liberty to live a life that's fulfilling in Christ alone, to be used by Him. No longer walking to the sin according to the desires of our flesh, but walking in the Spirit. So many believers today keep on serving the old nature that was controlled by sin. They have been set free, yet they have chosen to remain in sin, to the same strongholds that have gripped them all their life. When we do a set free, I know some of us have gone to a set free, when we do one here, it's amazing if you actually allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, and you actually deal with the sin, the bondage that you're still in, it's a transformation. It's amazing when we allow the Holy Spirit to actually minister to you, because He knows you intimately. And when we confess sin to one another, and we don't go around blabbing to anybody else, whatever's in the group, but allowing the Holy Spirit to bring freedom and restoration, there is liberty. And then that power of sin no longer has dominion over you. It's not me trying to minister to you. I pray that today you don't hear my voice, but you allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your hearts today. I'm just the mouthpiece. And He wants to minister to you. Are you willing to be ministered by the Holy Spirit today? Right? Such a sinful attitude to say that I want to continue in sin. I don't think any of us want to continue in the sin that easily entangles us. Because we want to be set free. We know God doesn't want you to be in that sin any longer. He truly wants you to be set free, to experience the power of His Word working in you, reviving you, to restore you to back into the right relationship, to have freedom like you have never had before. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God did not call us in to be impure, but to live a holy life. 1 Peter 1:14 to 16, it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had once lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy. He's called us to live a holy life. And it's the Holy Spirit that empowers you to live a holy life. It's not me striving to live a holy life. It's me surrendering to the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to impart His work into my life as I surrender to Him. We have a part in this. I could quench the Holy Spirit, not yield to the Holy Spirit. I could put the brakes on. How many of us was like Toby Max says, Lord, take the wheel? And it's like, how many of us want to be that backseat driver telling the Lord what to do and how to do it? I know sometimes my wife likes to tell me, when Zane drives, I'm the one in the pastor's seat telling him how to drive. And that's not going well. But we try to take the wheel. So God has given us a new nature. Ephesians 2:3 says, we are by nature the children of wrath. That's once we were not any longer. I pray that our perspective changes. We're no longer sinners. A sinner is somebody before Christ. That was their identity. That was our previous identity. Now our identity is we are a new creation in Christ. We're children of God. We're co-heirs with Christ. I'm an ambassador. You know, we might have a tendency to sin, but it's getting less and less. But our position is no longer we're sinners. To have that mindset is not believing the word of God, who he says that you are a new creation in Christ. We have to retrain our minds, how we think, how we perceive things. Lord, help me when I read your word that it actually comes alive and refreshes me. Help me to just meditate on one scripture that day or for maybe a month. So Tafana's going to read 2 Peter 2, 3 to 4. Is that 2 Peter?
2 Peter 2:4.
Did I give you the wrong one? 2 Peter 2? Oh. I thought it was his divine power. Was it 2 Peter 2:3-4? 1 Peter. I wrote down 2 Peter here. 1 Peter. How about 1 Peter? Let's read 1 Peter. I was like, I don't think that's right. So 1 Peter. See? And I thought somebody would catch that. 1. I wrote down the wrong scripture. Yeah. 2. Yes. 1 Peter 3, chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse. 2 Peter chapter 1. No, go 2 Peter. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain life. Yeah. I put 2 Peter chapter 1. 3 to 4. I'll see if you guys are awake today. Yeah. My mistake. Yes. The New King James is partakers of his divine nature. Right? It's just, you know, it's amazing. Right? He has. If you read that, has is a past tense. He He has given you all things. So he's given you all things. Do we want to take it? It's like I give you a keys to the Ferrari. If you don't put the key in the car, how does it drive? So he's given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. So it's like, are we want to take hold of it? And that's a battle that we are facing. Because your old man does not want to take on the new nature. It wants to be in that driver's seat. It doesn't want the new nature to really thrive. The devil doesn't want the new nature to thrive in your life. He's going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at you. And put everything, what our Enid said this morning, just the distractions of life. We get so busy, caught up in everything else, but spending time with God. I think that's when we fast and pray, we are actually dying to self and actually desiring Him. And so, and then we, and through these, you may be partakers of His divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We do not receive his divine nature, but we are partakers. We participate in his divine nature. That no longer children of wrath, but children of God. I think, So you know, I want to finish with this. So in Romans 6:3 says we were baptized in Christ. Do you ever ponder what baptism, to be baptized in Christ means? You know, I never thought about it before. It's like when I was reading Romans 6:3, being baptized in Christ. You know, baptism here is not water baptism. But it's taking on the new identity in Christ. That's what it's saying. It's not water baptism. It's actually being baptized in Christ, taking on his identity. So when you think about it, that's why I've been saying we are no longer sinners. My identity is in Christ. And I become like Christ. That's a whole powerful thing. Instead of living from a defeated perspective, he's given us all things necessary for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3-4. He's given us all those things. And when we are baptized in him, he's given us a new identity in Christ. So if I would say to you, do you feel like you're a sinner? Are you a sinner today? No, I'm not. I have been delivered from that old life. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a child of God and identify as Christ. It's amazing how we would actually, our perspective will change, our lives would change, if we start believing what the Word of God says. And we will not be living a life of being defeated, but be empowered to live a whole life, a holy life, a righteous life, as we surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And to say, Lord, search my heart this morning. Reveal anything in my life that needs to be dealt with. Lord, give me a teachable spirit. Forgive me, Lord, for being arrogant and self-righteous, religious. You want to become like Christ. Talmid is a student. We want to be a student of Christ. We want to imitate Christ. We want to become like Christ. When a rabbi, you want to be taught by your rabbi, you want to become like them. Do we want to be like these people that are hungry to become more like Christ, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And so, when you look into it, I know Galatians 3:27, I think I had that, Caitlin, but you want to read it, Enid? See, that goes hand in hand. So when you read Romans 6:3, put there also Galatians 3:27. Galatians 3:27 goes with Romans 6:3. So it's not water baptism it's talking about. It's being baptized in Christ to identify with Christ. So we are identified with Christ, become new creation because of Christ. We should no longer identify with our old man or our old ways. In Christ, our old nature has been crucified. It's on the cross. It's hanging there. And then we are raised in the newness of Christ. That's why we could identify in death or Jesus' death, because then we are raised in newness of life, the new creation. In him we have become a new man. Ephesians, I'll finish with this one. And then we'll pick up next time. So Ephesians 4:24, it says, put on the new man, which after God is created in the righteousness and in true holiness. So we are called to be put on the new man. We are supposed to be doing that. So we no longer have to walk according to the natural desires of the flesh. We can walk in the Spirit. We can walk in the newness of life. Hopefully this made all sense. So how do you identify yourself as? Who do you identify yourself as? A child of God. I pray, Lord, to this morning that your truth would be actually replacing all the lies that we have previously held on to, previously have believed. Maybe right now, Lord, we're struggling with things that we have been taught previously. But Lord, I know that your word goes so deep and it actually penetrates and separates everything in our lives that is contrary to your word. And so Lord, I pray you would take hold of this truth, apply this, to meditate on it, to allow you to allow it to be rooted and established in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. So next Sunday, I won't be here. My family and I, we're going to go to the island. And